opening scripture this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 13. And I put it up on the church website in the New King James, so I guess we could use that here as well. It's what I have on my notes. And if I were to put a title on the opening scripture, it would be, in a nutshell, Learning How to Hear God's Voice. And so, because He does speak. So I have five instances of where I actually heard His voice in an audible voice. And I want to share those, but let's read the scripture first. When the Spirit of Truth comes. Now, this is Jesus preparing His disciples for Jesus' departure. Because we know that after His resurrection, He stayed, I think, for 50 days or something like that. After His resurrection, He continued to teach His disciples, and then He departed. But in His writings, in the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke that it was expedient or necessary for Him to depart so that the Holy Spirit could come and indwell the believer, because until that time, the Holy Spirit was present, but He would come upon people and anoint them to do certain things, but He didn't indwell the person until after Jesus' resurrection. And so in Jesus' conversation, He says, when the Spirit of Truth comes, He hadn't in that form yet, if you will, but He was preparing them so that they wouldn't be walking alone without Jesus, that He would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to walk with them, to dwell in them and with them. And so He said, when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatsoever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. So, in brief, one of the comments I hear often about renewed life is that all you people spend all your time talking about the Holy Spirit. And I know it isn't, though, but you know, it's interesting how people perceive this concept that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He communicates with us. How is it possible for Him to lead us and guide us into all the truth if He has no ability to communicate that to us, to tell us to take a left here, take a right there, oh, you took a wrong road, go back, those kind of things? Or things from the Lord that the Spirit conveys, because God is a spirit and He communicates to our spirit, not our flesh, not our mind. It's a spirit-to-spirit connection. We are one with Him and He with us. So whenever the Spirit picks up something from the Father that He wants to convey to us, He speaks it into our spirit. Sometimes we hear Him in an audible voice, sometimes we don't. It's a prompting, it's an urging. I've heard it called an unction to function. There's just a prompting and a leading that you know when He's leading you or conveying to you that He wants you to say something or to do something or not to do something. And He said, whatever He hears, and the implication is from the Father, that's what He's going to speak to you. He's not going to just tell you stuff off the cuff and, hi, this is Holy Ghost, I got a word for you. No, this came from the Father, and this is what the Father is speaking to you through me, the Spirit. And it says, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. The Bible says joy comes in the morning, but He didn't say which season. It could be the fall. I mean, He's given you something to look forward to keep your hopes up, to get you out of the late winter doldrums of it's still cold out, it's still snowing. But you know, it's only 56 days until spring now. So, you know, that's a good word. Now, the Spirit didn't say that. The calendar did, so. But I want to share with you the five times that I actually heard an audible voice. And this may take me a few minutes to get through because I think it's important. I know that that doesn't always happen. Most of the time it doesn't. And if you could hear God's voice, what would it sound like? This started right soon after Faith and I got saved. And we're working on a golf course in Florida. We had 300 acres to take care of. And I was driving my mower, and all of a sudden I heard this voice, "Go to a nursing home." And it just, it's like, there's nobody here. There was not another person anywhere. And yet I distinctly heard those words. And it sounded like a masculine voice. It was not a feminine voice. I can use those words to distinguish it. But it sounded like the voice of a man speaking to me and said, "Go to a nursing home." Well, fear gripped my heart, first of all, because I heard a voice and there was nobody there to go with the voice. And secondly, I never did want to go to a nursing home because Faith used to work in nursing homes, and she'd come home and tell me a lot of the things that happened that she was a part of in the caregiving that she did. And so I had this perception in my mind of what that might look like. Hi, Jesse. What that might be like, and I didn't want any part of that. But I was so convinced that I heard that voice that I took my mower and I drove all over the golf course looking for her, and I found her, and I said, "Faith, I really believe God spoke to me and told me to go to a nursing home." And I said, "But I don't know whether he wants us just to quit right now and go, or what do we do with that?" And so we talked for a few minutes and went back to work, and in my reasoning I thought, well, we're not done mowing what we're doing, so it's probably okay to wait until lunch and then tell our boss we have to leave because God told me to go to a nursing home. I mean, this is how my child, like, this is how I function. I just have that like a little kid. And so reasoning said we at least ought to stay until lunchtime, and the things that we have to do were done. So then lunchtime came, and we hooked up again at lunch. We talked about it again, and we thought, well, probably realistically, at least after we finished our day of work, so that we were on our own time. We didn't know anything about what God was like yet, hardly. I mean, just starting our walk. So we came home after work and had supper and went out and just started driving through Naples and found a nursing home. There's three in Naples, Florida, but we vaguely knew where one was and went there. Oh, and the other thing that happened, it was good that we didn't leave in the afternoon, because then I heard his voice again, that audible same voice. And I have to read exactly, because I wrote down the exact words so that I'd remember them. "There's an elderly white-haired woman who was very lonely. Go and tell her I love her." Very specific. So we get to the nursing home. Faith stayed in the car. I don't think she came in with me. She said, "He told you, so you go." She's a wise woman, I'll tell you. If you're going to have a wife, you better have a wise wife. And so I went up to the front door and went in. And this nurse came to the door and she said, "May I help you?" And I said, "Yes, and you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but I'm here because God told me that there was a white-haired woman here that was very lonely, and he wanted me to tell her that he loved her." And she says, "Oh, great, come on in. We have a whole room full of people." And that really freaked me out. I hadn't learned to walk all in faith yet. There was still some fear there. And oh, my goodness, she took me into this social activities room. There they all were. Some were sitting half asleep, and some were just kind of laid back in a recliner-type chair. Some had walkers, and it really looked like I didn't want to be there. It looked like the kind of place I didn't want to be. But, you know, to my word, I honored that, and I went to every person in that room. And some, because of the position they were sitting or laying, I had to get down on my knees so that I could speak in their ear, because some of them couldn't hear. And I went to every one of them and said, God sent me today to tell you that he loves you. And I didn't ad lib. I said exactly those words that God told me to say, because I didn't know what else to tell him. He gave me the words, so I would go with that. And I went to every one of them in the room. And when I walked out of there, I went, whew, out of here. A couple weeks went by. Our pastor that we were hooked up with in Florida says, you been back to that nursing home? Nope. He says, did God tell you to leave? Nope. Well, don't you think you better carry on? And that started a ministry with his wife and Faith and myself. And we would go there and sing gospel hymns that I didn't know any of the words to, growing up as a heathen. Never heard most of those words. And if I did, I never remembered or knew what they meant. But as a believer, I did. And we started doing that. And that lasted for all the time that we remained in Florida until we came back to Vermont. And plus, God opened the door to another nursing home. And we began going there too and doing the same thing. And it was so wonderful because Faith reminded me of, what was the song, Faith, that we sang and that lady responded that never could talk or didn't talk?
Jesus loves me.
Yeah, and it took her back to a time where she could remember of something that triggered. It was a trigger song for her. And a lot of things happened there. And we came back here. We carried on at the Gill home in Ludlow for 7 more years. And they asked us to stop coming because there were other new ministries and there's only 4 Sundays in a month. And we were just grabbing, you know, and they asked us if we would opt out and let other ministries come in. So that's how that all started. And so those were the first 2 times. Then we came, we were meeting in our living room in an apartment in Chester for Renewed Life, and it grew to the point where, like your ladies' group, parking was something that neighbors began to question about, and also you just kind of run short on space. So we had a big army tent. And we set it up in Andover, or the pastor and his wife, they were living in Andover at that time. They set up this big army tent, and we began meeting in the tent. Well, an early snowstorm came, and it was a foot of wet, heavy snow, and it smashed the tent in, so we couldn't meet there anymore. So then we began meeting in our house again. And we went through the winter, and then summer came. And the summer of 1987, this building became available to rent with the option to buy. And there were just a few of us. It had been used for several things. There was a Lad and Lassie's daycare center here that I remember. Others had rented it as an apartment because it had a kitchen and a bathroom downstairs. It was pretty run down. It wasn't cared for, really. And I remember walking up through those double doors, well, the old wooden double doors that were there, and came in, and the odor that was inside this building was enough to just gag you. It was just absolutely stifling, stinking. And what happened was somebody had used it as an apartment. They had a couple dogs, and they let the dogs come up here and use the sanctuary as their bathroom. And we don't know how long, but it was enough that it went down through the old wood floors and came down through the ceilings downstairs, and the odor in here was just awful. But this voice I heard, we've always had those 2 steps. There was just carpeting put over them. But through it, on those steps, I heard this. Don't worry about the odor. Look where my son was born. I just knew this was the place for us, and we all did. And so we occupied the building, But those words, I will never forget those, because when God speaks certain words, you never forget them. And that was the birth of Renewed Life in this building. And that's what we were greeted with. The four of us came through the door to look at it. And it just was so powerful to think of when you look at where Jesus was born, in with the critters, in the stable. It wasn't pretty, but it was like he birthed his work here. And there's a lot of things that have happened all these years that weren't pretty, but they were godly. And I know that his presence is still very strong here among us. Two more. This was 1998, because I remember them, and I've kept track of these. 1998. It was, I think, my fifth overseas missions trip, because a lot of things happened after we started here in this building, and a lot of things, God opened doors to ministries and missions trips through your grandpa. A lot of things happened. But in 1998, I know that you're going to recognize this incident because I shared it isolated, but in another segment. I was praying for, I had shared the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we were in this church that had dirt floors, just wooden benches, open windows, no glass on the windows, just like a metal, thin metal rods through the windows. And it was cold. It was August, but we were below the equator, so it was winter. And praying for people, and this deaf lady was among one of the ones that the villagers brought. And she came up front like we do, and I went to lay my hands on her, and it was like a stopping. And that's when I heard these words, blow in her ear and I will heal her. And that's when I told you, I made the comment, yeah, right. Because it sounded so preposterous. I mean, put yourself in that position. What would you have done? Would you have questioned that? Possibly. But in an instant, when I heard those words, I said, oh my God, that was me that spoke those words. And I blew in her ear, and she was healed. And another lady in that village got saved because of that miracle. So that was the fourth time. A lot of other times, I don't hear that stuff. I don't hear an audible voice. One more time. 2004. I had been to India three times. 2001, 2002, 2003, now the fourth time, 2004, on the way back. The flights always leave in the middle of the night, like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, so that you connect in Europe with your flights to the States or wherever else you're going. And I remember watching the lights of Bangalore fade away in the distance, and then the voidness of India. For thousands of square miles, it was just all black, because a lot of the village, they don't have electric, and you don't see street lights or house lights or anything like that. And I got almost a real lonely feeling, like part of my life was being ripped away as I was leaving there and coming home. And I remember just sitting in my seat, and I said, Lord, if I never get to go again, this is the most profound thing that has ever happened to me in my life. I was at the point of death with drugs a couple times. And to have a new life given to me and opportunities like this. And as soon as I said that, I just said, Lord, if I never get to do this again, this is the most awesome thing that I've ever experienced. And I wrote down what he said. The door will be closed to many, but to you it will always be open. And every year, when there was an opportunity to go, he showed me wisdom, about going when the season was right to go because of monsoon rains in the mountains. He always provided every dollar that I ever needed. I usually end up bringing a little bit back, except I don't bring it back, I give it. I just leave it there. Unless I have rupees, I still have Indian money, and I bring that home and save it for the next time. Because he said, the door will always be open. So I just keep going. He has never told me not to go anymore. I keep going. And even ending with COVID, I get my plane tickets changed. I'm on my third passport. I have 8 years left on my passport. And the last time I applied for a visa, that missions offering that we do once a month paid for that visa. That visa was over $500 for a visa to go to India. And I usually get a tourist visa, which is good for 6 months, and it's a one entry. But I told you, the last time I applied for that, they sent me a 10-year multiple entry visa. I can go to India as many times as I want to for the next 10 years because the door is still open. And those 5 times, I heard God's voice in an audible voice. And so it isn't always like that. But God makes a way to communicate with us and to us. And so when we're faulted, because we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, how can we live our lives without Him leading us and guiding us and showing us what's right and showing us what's wrong? Every time we pick up our Bibles, sometimes I like to read it out loud because it's like God speaking those words to our spirit. It's like even our own voice when we're reading His Word puts a voice to Him when we read the Word. So there's all kinds of ways, and you all know the way He communicates with you. It might not always be the same for everybody, but the fact of the matter is, I so much wanted this whole thing about hearing from the Lord was burning in my spirit all week. I didn't have to wait until this morning. And I wrote all of these accounts down to be an encouragement to you that if you hear a strange voice and there's nobody around you and it's to do something in line with the Word, it's probably Him.